Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've had about 24 hours now, nearly, to collect our thoughts and try to wrap our minds around just the spectacle that was yesterday's White House statement and press conference from the president, where he decided out of the goodness of his heart to, on the fly, allow insurance companies over the next 6 weeks to completely resurrect plans that his law forced them to cancel. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the second martini. But the good news here, Jim, is that not only are Republicans and the insurance industry saying this is desperate and ludicrous, even the Democrats don't really get what he's doing here, including some folks you might not expect. Here's Howard Dean on MSNBC, pretty much right after the president's appearance.
I wonder if he has the legal authority to do this, since this was a congressional bill that set this up.
And then you still have the skittish Senate and some House Democrats, particularly on the Senate side, though, with all those red state Democrats up for re-election in 2014. You've got Mary Landrieu and several others saying, this isn't good enough. We still need to pass this legislation that I'm trying to push here on the Senate. As we speak, the House is debating and is likely to pass the Fred Upton Keep Your Plan bill. Jim, the idea that not even the spin machine is working for Obama 24 hours later is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, what this kind of reflects is that there's now a big fundamental difference between the political interests of Obama and congressional Democrats. Now, Mary Landrieu and several other red state Democrats now need to look like they opposed Obamacare, which is just flat out not true. I believe they have her on tape saying fairly recently, if she had to vote again, she would vote yes. Louisiana voters will be seeing a lot of that video in the next year. What we're seeing here in the reaction to this one is that, look, you know, congressional Democrats need to say, I voted to give you your plan back, because those ads are going to run. And there's going to be, you know, Mary Landrieu and all these guys voted for the bill that took away your plan. And they lied about it. They told you you could keep your plan and they lied. And they're going to say, well, yeah, but I voted for the bill to give it back. And it didn't pass, but, you know, I tried. The problem here is, like I said, it's not going to happen. And then the second thing is going to be, the result is that Obama is saying, look, I am the one who told you if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. And that turned out to not be true. Also, I had no idea the website wasn't going to work. But trust me to fix it. We don't need a bill to fix this. The fact that he's basically saying, trust me on this, directly after the broken promise, is I guess you could say it's the audacity of hope, Greg.
I think you're right. And before we let Mary Landrieu off the hook, there's a lot of video of her going around, not only from recently saying that she'd vote for it all over again, but just in the last few days, she was on with Wolf Blitzer of CNN, and this whole exchange followed.
Like the president, do you want to apologize to the people of Louisiana? So you clearly do not regret your yay vote in favor of the Affordable Care Act. And you know, but you know the Republicans, they're going to go after you in your reelection bid. You're up for re-election next year, and they're already making it clear, all of the Democratic senators who they think are vulnerable, they're going to point to statements they made in favor of Obamacare, including this one that you made back in 2009. I'll play the clip.
Those individuals who like the coverage they already have will be able to keep their current plan. This is a very accurate description of this bill.
Basically, you said what the president said. Any regrets?
No, Wolf, whatsoever, because I meant it when I said it, and when I found out that wasn't exactly the way it was, I'm fixing it.
So, Jim, it turns out that perhaps she should have read the bill instead of just looking to have her palm greased by Harry Reid with the Louisiana Purchase.
I am now about to do a not very good Jason Alexander impression. Remember, Jerry, if you believe it's true, it's not a lie. That's basically what they're saying. It's like, well, we thought you could. And here's the thing. Here's why their excuse is very disingenuous, is just that if they'd said some of you aren't going to be able to keep your plans, it never would have passed. Right. I mean, it was no better than 50-50 in terms of polling. But if it said, look, as a result of this reform, some of you are going to have to lose it. A lot of people would say, I don't want to do this. I feel bad for the uninsured, but I'm not willing to lose or have my health insurance plan drastically changed in order to help those folks. Now it turns out that everything the folks on the right had warned is precisely coming to pass. And Landrieu's got to say, well, look, it's not what I intended to happen, so don't blame me. Judge me by my intentions, not by results, which is, you know, has worked for Democrats for a long time. But I think they're running smack into a brick wall of reality here.
Yeah. Bill Cassidy and other Republicans running for Senate in Louisiana, take that video, take that audio. Your work's half done for you on the messaging front once you win the nomination. On to martini number two now, and we talked about a lot of different problems with what the president had to say yesterday and how it didn't match up with previous rhetoric, didn't match up with reality. But one of the things that's blatantly obvious here, and I thought the president was more blunt about this than I expected him to be, because usually he's kind of a wordsmith, but he was all over the place yesterday. Here's the president yesterday at the press conference essentially saying point blank, the only reason I'm doing this is so you can blame the insurance companies for when you still can't get your old policy.
Anything that's going on that's tough in the healthcare market, if you initiated a reform, can be attributed to your law. And so what we want to do is to be able to say to these folks, you know what? The Affordable Care Act is not going to be the reason why insurers have to cancel your plan. Now, what folks may find is the insurance companies may still come back and say, we want to charge you 20% more than we did last year, or we're not going to cover prescription drugs now. But that's in the nature of the market that existed earlier.
Jim, so basically, if anything goes wrong from this point on, just because I waved my magic wand, it's no longer my fault.
And let me also add, those 20% premium hikes have nothing to do with the giant bill I just passed regulating everything about healthcare, right? Nothing to do with that, you know, just them being greedy. All these new requirements, all these new things that they have to cover under the plans for all the other people who are signing up, the 106,000 people signing up for the exchanges, that has nothing to do with you paying higher premiums. Sure, Mr. President, right. There's an often told story about George H.W. Bush running into some poll trouble, and they give him a speech. Somebody wrote it kind of either in the margins or somewhere on the speech, message I care. And that was the theme. And instead, George H.W. Bush, being the, you know, well-meaning guy, just reads it literally, message I care, as I lapse into Dana Carvey for a second. And that's a bit of Obama saying, message, not my fault. Message, don't blame me. He's reading the subtext aloud. And it's particularly unpersuasive when you offer your plan and say, look, this is all about blame shifting. Phil Klein, who's a good piece in the Washington Examiner, saying, look, this is not going to work. Most people say, look, there was life before Obamacare and there's life after Obamacare, right? And so all of a sudden, if your plan gets canceled when Obamacare comes along, people are going to draw that distinction. They may not be happy or warm and fuzzy towards their insurance companies, but they know the insurance company they were dealing with before, they were able to work out a deal with them. The insurance company, you know, you probably had for a bunch of years there. And now all of a sudden they're, you know, changing the deal rather drastically. The idea that it's completely unconnected to Obamacare just doesn't pass the sniff test. The second thing is that you can tell the media is now treating Obama very differently than it was all too often in his presidency. The media really feels like they got co-opted into selling a turd to the American people. They really thought Obamacare was going to work. They're genuinely mad. This isn't even getting into the, you know, David Frums and Kristen Powers of the world who have had their plans canceled as a result of this. So Obama cannot count on the media running interference for him. And he can't blame the Republicans because they didn't, you know, sign into this thing at all. And so we're now seeing the emperor without any of his clothes. And, well, here we are.
This whole process is fun to watch for a number of reasons. It's heartbreaking to watch, of course, for the people who are deeply affected by this and aren't sure where they're going to get their health care coverage or their health care itself from in the weeks and months ahead. But to watch the Democratic spin here has been entertaining, to say the least, because there are still some, even though much of the mainstream media is holding the president to account here. MSNBC, of course, is carrying water through a bucket that really doesn't have much of a bottom left in it. But Turay is one of the personalities. I believe he's a regular on this show, The Cycle. And he was trying to explain why the likes of, you know, why are Mary Landrieu, Mark Begich, Mark Pryor, Kay Hagan, why are all these people so desperate to make fixes to the law when Democrats should love this law? It's the greatest thing that's happened in a century when it comes to health care. And here's how he explained why these people are different from the rest of Democrats.
Let's just look at the members who are supporting this Landrieu bill, right? Mary Landrieu from a red state, Senator Kay Hagan from a red state, Joe Manchin from a red state, Senator Pryor from a red state, Mark Begich from a red state. Do you notice anything? We see red state Democrats who are dealing with the challenge of living and governing in a gerrymandered world.
A gerrymandered Senate seat, Jim, I believe those are better known as state borders.
I suppose you could accuse the founding fathers of technically gerrymandering the country instead of having just one big country of America. They did keep the colonies that were there and kept adding new states. It's not even that smart a point, even if you assume that he, you know, mixed up districts and states for a little while or something. Because his point is that, well, of course, these Democrats are opposing it. They're from red states. So, you know, they're from a you know, more conservative, Republican-leaning part of the country that is generally not a fan of President Obama. We shouldn't be any more surprised by that than we are when, you know, Scott Brown was not necessarily taking the party line. They're representing their constituents. Yes, he's right. We shouldn't be surprised by it, but that doesn't delegitimize it. The idea that somehow some other type of Democrats, Dick Durbin Democrats, are normal, right? And that's, you know, that's the way Democrats are supposed to be. But red state Democrats are these freakish creatures that Therese's argument there is basically just to say, look, they're only voting this way because their constituents hate the bill. That's all. Well, gee, why do you think they hate the bill? And the next question is, like, Dianne Feinstein is one of these people who's signing on to this. And, you know, California is a pretty darn blue state in that category. Jim Moran, my congressman, generally a top-to-bottom embarrassment to Northern Virginia, just said in an interview with BuzzFeed that he would bet the farm that the website is not going to be ready by the end of December. Now, Moran is saying this because he has eyes and ears and can read and has a pulse. And I think the only people who are insisting they're going to make the deadline at the end of the month are administration spokespeople. But nonetheless, when Jim Moran is saying, I don't trust you and you're lying to us and I don't trust you guys to get the job done and you're not competent and all that stuff, then you've lost everybody. I mean, Jim Moran is, you know, when Jim Moran is basically saying the administration can't get it done and he doesn't believe what they're saying, Michelle Obama's the next one, okay? And that's the next person who's going to come out and criticize the administration. So President Obama is in trouble because of the bill, not because of some, you know, one, not because of gerrymandering, and then two, not because of, you know, oh, certain states have some crazy conservatives in them and Democrats have to placate them. No, the bill sucks, people, and that's why Obama's in the trouble that he's in. I suppose we shouldn't be that shocked to see this kind of an error coming from somebody on MSNBC, but it does give us a nice, you know, good crazy martini to close out the week, yes.
Yeah, it's odd that obviously the news is horrific, but the prospects of it getting better are getting better all the time. So, odd way to end the week. And Jim, just as an aside, I lived in a blue state, but in a red part of the state in Michigan. We never went to school on November 15th. Why? It's the start of deer hunting season. So, happy deer hunting season to everybody out there in Michigan.
Greg Corumbus's red state bona fides. That kind of underlines it right there. I'll have to find up some sort of, you know, genuine red statey thing I did growing up to reinstate my. I'm a terrible blue stater, you know, rhino squish, Greg. So.
Well, I can't say that I actually went deer hunting. I just enjoyed sleeping in those days.
The deer hunting red state cooties got on you, and that affected you becoming a conservative person and all that stuff. So. Have a good weekend, Greg. I will see you Monday.
You too, Jim. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.